Good evening. Welcome back to BV Tonight, 96.3 News Radio, KKOB. However, wherever, whenever you may be listening, thanks for being with us. Brandon Vogt, producer Jeff St. Louis. If 96.3 is a little fuzzy, go over to 770, always and forever.
Yep.
770 on the AM dial. And hopefully we'll have everything fixed with 96.3 very soon. With us tonight, we'll take your calls, too. You're cool with calls, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You signed the waiver, right? Daniel Zubiate, and filmmaker, and he has the new documentary out, The Gary I Knew, about Gary Coleman. And I found this very interesting, his life and this documentary. Daniel, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
First off, tell me a little bit about your background. Actor, director, you've done it all, right?
I've done a little bit of everything. But I have left the industry several times and come back to it. This project kind of came out of a disappointment that I felt in the recent years with the way the community here has been behaving.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just decided to start doing my own things. And this was one of the projects that came to mind and came to fruition.
Yeah, and the project on Gary Coleman, what was it about? There's a lot of interesting things about it, but what was it that drew you to this, to make this investment in this film?
I realized back in September that he'd been almost gone 10 years.
Yeah.
And I went on Wikipedia to read about what really happened, because I just kind of had vague memories of the news stories of the time.
Yeah.
And finally just decided, you know, this is all kind of vague.
Yeah.
Why not, 10 years is coming up, why not do something?
Yeah. It was such a big deal. I remember, you know, when he passed away, 2010, I think. Yeah. When he passed away, the media coverage on it, like Entertainment Tonight, was all over this. And this was a really big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And then before that, I mean, he had showed up on some reality shows and that sort of thing, kind of doing that circuit. But he really didn't have much of a showbiz career for several years. And then all of a sudden, you know, this happens, circumstances surrounding his death, you know, it became a media firestorm again.
Yeah, the media doesn't care about you till you die.
Yeah, then they're all over you. So with this film, you got access to his widow, his wife.
Sure.
I think they got divorced, right?
They got divorced, and yet they stayed living together.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, they were the epitome of a dysfunctional couple.
Really?
But like time, it's relative. To them, it made sense. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, it just looked like chaos.
Yeah. So what's the story between those two, Shannon and Gary? How long had they been together? Where'd they meet?
They met on the set of a movie called Church Ball.
Okay.
Some Mormon film that was shooting in Utah where she was living at the time. And she was trying to get on the set as an extra.
Mm-hmm.
He came out, saw her, thought she was pretty, chatted her up, got her phone number, went to meet her at her job the next night, and just kind of started from there.
Had Gary had any long-term relationships?
No.
Yeah.
No, it was just kind of hookups, and I can't even say hookups because he was not able to perform because of his medical conditions.
Yeah.
But he just had various women in his life. Most of them wanted to use him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can imagine, especially toward the end there.
Yeah. More so when he was younger, because he was still a hot commodity.
Yeah, yeah, on television and everything. And so with his, so he gets married to Shannon, and, you know, you said they're, kind of describe their relationship, because they were about as opposite as people that you could find. She was Utah Mormon, and he's, you know, Hollywood, right?
No, absolutely. And that was actually what he liked about her, was that she was not Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't want anything to do with that world or those people.
Yeah.
Came to Utah, found this nice-looking Mormon girl. And she's not a very observant Mormon. Let me just put that out there,
too. Okay.
And she'll admit that.
Yeah.
And somehow they got along really well.
Uh-huh.
They did argue about money.
Mm-hmm.
But
was Gary pretty much broke
by
that time?
He did have a little bit in his SAG residuals.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the amount that she did get. But, he did not have a lot of money. He was just basically taking whatever jobs would come his way.
Mm-hmm. And so you got access to her. Was she pretty open about talking about the relationship and the circumstances surrounding his death?
Once we started shooting, she was. But when my initial pitch, she was very leery of me.
Mm-hmm.
Had Gary's ex-agent call me, vet me, talked on the phone for almost an hour.
Mm-hmm.
She called Shannon back and said, you know, I think this guy's pretty sincere. I think he's legit. Shannon called me back. we went back and forth for a while. Finally, she agreed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We set a date. I went up to Utah and we shot it.
Yeah. And what were some of the things that, we'll find out? The documentary, it's a documentary, right?
Yes.
The Gary I Knew. And you guys had a screening at the Guild a couple of weeks ago, right?
Right.
So what are some of the things that folks are going to see when they get this?
Well, we do have some wedding footage that's never been seen before. I mean, mm-hmm. there are stills on Google,
yeah,
but never the actual footage. And I've got exclusive photos that have never been seen of him before.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the very last photo of him before the plug was pulled.
Yeah,
I've got his death certificate, got his birth certificate, got his driver's license, got stories, anecdotes from Shannon. She, of course, talks about the day that he died, mm-hmm. the day that he fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And how the media tried to spin it,
like, yeah.
if she murdered him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In my personal opinion, I think she had nothing to do with it.
Now, tell me about the circumstances around his death, because I think that's what the media glommed onto, especially the tabloid media. I mean, you have this guy everybody knows. Everybody knows Gary Coleman.
Right.
Instantly recognizable. You know the name, the face. And then all of a sudden he's dead. He's just married this woman in Utah. How was he health-wise in those?
Oh, he was in terrible condition.
Yeah.
He was getting dialysis every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Had very little money.
Yeah.
Was often, had other ailments as well.
Yeah.
And the day that he fell, he had just come back from dialysis.
Mm.
Went downstairs to make Shannon something to eat. Fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
She doesn't know if it was a seizure. He also had a heart attack a year before. That wasn't not publicized in the media.
Oh, wow.
And the doctors gave him a year to live. So he actually died 6 months after they gave him a year.
Wow. So he falls down the stairs, and then Shannon calls.
Right. She went downstairs to check on him, saw there was blood, called 911. They came out. He did manage to get up and walk to the ambulance on his own,
mm-hmm.
went to the hospital. Then they transferred him to a second hospital. Then they were taking him to dialysis. On the way to dialysis, he had a seizure, went into a coma.
Wow. And then 6 months, right?
Yeah.
He was there in the hospital room, and then so there was no way he was coming back from this.
No, the doctors, a couple of doctors told him there's just no coming back from this. His brain was hemorrhaging.
Yeah. And yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and on top of all of his legal troubles, because I mean, this poor guy, like you said, he was such an iconic character that everybody knew him, but he couldn't really capitalize on it. So he was constantly being hounded. Didn't he get sued for punching a lady that just wouldn't leave him alone?
He did. That was an incident that happened in California when he was working as a security guard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was that the one where he was on the hood of the car?
Yes.
So that was real? That wasn't a staged
thing?
No,
that was real footage.
Yeah.
Of course.
And he also got into another scuffle with a guy in a bowling alley in Utah. He actually bowled in a league.
Mm-hmm.
In Salt Lake City, if you can imagine Gary Coleman bowling.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going into a bowling alley and seeing that?
I actually have his USBC bowling card.
Oh, really?
Show it in the documentary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I was taking everything Shannon would give me.
Yeah, yeah. So she had a lot of stuff.
She had receipts from restaurants with a signature. She had all kinds of stuff.
Now, with since they weren't married at the time, was she the one who ultimately made the decision to end his life?
She was on his DNR.
Okay.
So, yeah, she did make the decision.
Yeah. Why do you think they got divorced, but why do you think they continued to stay in their relationship?
Honestly, it's one of those situations where I don't think anybody else would have the other.
Mm-hmm.
So they just decided, hey, what the hell?
Yeah.
I always wondered if it was money. They just couldn't afford to separate.
You know, Shannon would have been okay because she could have gone back to her family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her family would have helped her.
Yeah. And she hasn't, at least as far as I know, tried to capitalize on this.
No, she hasn't. In fact, she's had other offers to do similar documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
She told me she had several, but decided to go with me because she liked me.
Yeah, yeah. And the new documentary, The Gary I Knew, it played at the Guild a few weeks ago. So what's the process for the film now? What are you going to do with it?
Well, right now we're going on the festival circuit. I've submitted it to 8 different festivals.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it does. I may go to more. I've been asked to submit it here to the Albuquerque Film and Music Experience,
yeah.
But I'm not going to submit it here. I actually submitted something there last year, which was rejected. And this isn't sour grapes. I just don't tend to go back to the same places where I've Okay. Received a rejection.
Yeah.
It's so like what's hitting the... on the same beautiful woman twice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Spread yourself around a little bit.
Exactly.
Right.
Give Shop other fish around. A shot.
So what happens? You submit these for these the festivals, and then you either get accepted or you don't, and then it's on there, and folks take a look at it. How's a festival system work?
Yeah, each festival is a little bit different, yet they're similar. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually a week-long festival where they show various films. They give out different awards for different genres.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get an award, get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the run, I'll submit it to Amazon or Netflix, or I have a couple of relationships with various distributors.
Yeah.
We'll go to them first.
Yeah. Hey,
do you guys want to take this? You want to make a deal?
Mm-hmm.
Put it on a streaming platform?
Yeah. One of the things about
end up.
Yeah, one of the things about Gary Coleman was his love of trains. Was there a lot of trains? And
we talked about that in the documentary.
Shannon's house. Yeah,
we talked about that. She actually, when he died, all that stuff was auctioned off.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he just had a huge train collection.
Yeah, and he and I remember this when I was a kid, and we're about the same age. We're very young, Jeff.
Yeah.
He had the whole, like, divorce with his parents. He emancipated himself.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big cases, you know, at that time period. And his folks really didn't do him any favor. He was adopted, right?
Didn't he have to sue them, too, to get some of his money back?
He won a judgment. I don't know that he ever actually got anything, because by then all the money had been spent.
Yeah. Because this way, he was still a minor when Different Strokes was on.
At his peak, he was making $70,000 a week, which, think about that, like in 1982 dollars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, $70,000 a week, but he had a lot of expenses.
Yeah.
You know, agents, managers, publicists, lawyers.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't he sick back then, too?
Oh, yeah. He had gone to work sick? A couple of kidney transplants.
Oh, my gosh.
Neither of them took.
Yeah. Poor kid.
Did that end it with his parents? Were they finished at that point, or did he ever reconnect with them?
No.
Oh. Yeah, so he had to pay for all of that out of his pocket, the dialysis. Even when he was a kid making $70,000 a week, he still had to pay for the kidney doctors and the transplants.
No, I'm not sure if his insurance, his AFTRA insurance, covered that.
Yeah. Mm. Do you think there's a curse with Different Strokes?
No kidding.
As you look at Gary Coleman, Dana Plato, of course, Todd Bridges has had his troubles.
I don't know.
Is it the show or just that?
I think it's the world.
And those were really young kids thrown into stardom. I mean, back then, being famous was being famous. Like today, you can get famous, you know, many different ways. But back then, if you were famous, everybody knew who you were.
Everybody.
And these were kids, and they were thrown into that and into that lifestyle at a very young age. So I don't know if it's much a curse as it is just, you know, kids dealing with fame and the aftermath of that, because very few child actors ever come out of it, you know.
I'll tell you one story that Shannon told me. Now, of course, this is something that Gary told her, so this is hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me that Dana Plato would go through the set when they weren't shooting in the kitchen. Anything that she could snort or put in her mouth, she would just try to see if it would get her high.
Oh, wow.
Salt, pepper, it didn't matter.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So she was really bad.
Yeah. Daniel Zubiate with us. The new documentary is The Gary I Knew. It's going to be making the festival circuits, and we'll have more with Daniel next. And you're going to give us a little exclusive, right?
If you want to hear it.
He can't wait.
Here on News Radio KQOB.
He is just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for someone.
Boy, does that bring back some memories. Different Strokes, of course. Gary Coleman, the subject of the documentary from Daniel Zubiate, The Gary I Knew. And Gary, you had an exclusive you were going to let us in on outside of what's in this documentary here.
Yeah, this was something I decided not to put in the documentary, but I'll tell you now that Gary believed he was the product of incest.
Really?
He thought that was the reason that he had so many health problems, and he was never able to get a copy of his birth certificate while he was alive.
Really?
Shannon managed to get one years later.
Yeah.
And let me make a scan of it.
Mm-hmm. And did we know anything about his early life circumstance? Was he adopted as an infant?
I don't know if it was quite as an infant. He was adopted.
Yeah.
And his birth mother was from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And father as well.
Yeah.
I haven't done any genealogy research.
Wow. That's a bombshell.
No kidding.
And the family that adopted him was in Illinois?
Right.
Yes. And they they didn't have any other children or anything, I don't think.
No.
So Gary was the only one.
Right.
It was kind of interesting, his rise to stardom, because it could have just ended there, you know, being a kid in Illinois, and then he was casting a commercial, you were telling me? And that's...
Yeah, he was seen by an agent, cast in a commercial, and then his parents took him out to California, and his career just kind of took off.
Yeah, be a star. And it wasn't just the TV. Like, he was at commercials. And
yeah, I remember the commercials.
A ton of commercials. Did a lot of TV movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cute little kid in commercials for Whoppers, I think, or something like that.
So with this, with you had the showing at the Guild. Is there any chance it's going to be shown here in Albuquerque again somewhere?
I may do one more here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, the Gary I News, the documentary, and we'll keep you updated on where it's going to be at. But Daniel, you've had a long career in show business. So we were going through some of this.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, working on The Mule, Friday Night Lights, among other things. What are some of your highlights, some of your big moments that you were part of so far? Because you're a very young man.
Working on The Mule. Well, thank you for saying that, because we're the same age. I would say that working on The Mule, working with Clint Eastwood is, that's an experience money can't buy.
Yeah, yeah. What was he like on set?
Really nice guy. Cool. Very down to earth. Really good sense of humor. Really good work ethic.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 107. We were shooting near Las Cruces.
Yeah.
And he was 107. He's out there working, moving equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was 89 at the time.
And he works, the thing about Clint, he works really fast, right?
Yes.
Like, there's not a lot of second, third takes.
No, there's no waste of time.
Yeah. And that's one of the things about his movie. There's some mistakes in them, and he leaves them in there.
Sure.
You know, because it'd be really easy for him not to. But the way he works is a little different. You can tell a Clint Eastwood movie from anything else in Hollywood. Yeah. Daniel Zubiate with us tonight on News Radio KKOB. And what's the future hold for you? You working on any other projects?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a horror film in the works right now with my partner, Alan Humphrey. And we're going to be shooting that this summer here in Albuquerque.
You know, if you need a radio voice, I pitch this to everybody. This is my dream, Daniel, to be in a movie where, like, they just had, like, a big delivery, and a delivery guy gets back in the truck, and the radio's turned on, and you can barely hear somebody on the radio, and then they turn it off, and the dialogue starts. I want to be that guy on the radio that they jump into. So keep me in mind.
I got another documentary in the works also with a former television actress that I was just talking to yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I can't say who she is yet. So she's kind of embroiled in a little bit of controversy lately.
Really?
Lindsay Lohan.
No, I can't say who she is. But I did talk to her. We had a nice conversation. She didn't say no. She said, you need to think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did get to make my pitch.
Good deal. Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of other documentary projects as well.
Yeah.
You can't get out of here without telling us about Machete. With Danny Trejo.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with that guy a bunch of times.
I love Danny Trejo.
I worked with him on the two Machetes. I worked with him on two of the Spy Kids, and I worked with him on the Ridiculous Six.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that? Look at what kind of IMDb he's got.
The nicest guy.
Really? Yeah.
Just very, very gracious.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lindsay Lohan was in Machete.
Yeah, no, I never saw her.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, Daniel, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Yep, and look forward to this documentary, The Gary I Knew, as it makes its rounds on the circuit. And you win an award. Come back.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
Definitely. We want to go to the screening, too, if you have another one.
I'll let you know.
All right, Daniel, thanks for being with us. This is 96.3 News Radio, KQOB.